The Force That Sets These in Motion by Ann Pendleton. Crouched in the long shadows by the creek is an old man. He washes his hands in the water, brings handfuls to his gaunt face. The crunch of twigs beneath my bare feet alerts him to my arrival. He looks at me, startled at first, then anger flushes his jaundiced skin. He stands, flicks the water from his vein-ribbed claws, and shrieks, "Where have you been?" I know he's been waiting here a long time. I have no answer for him. The confusion begins to pound like a tribal drum in my now flaming head. My eardrums are about to erupt as a rushing, jet-like roar tears through my ears. I press my fingertips to my throbbing temples. Skin on skin is salt in an open wound. Then I return to the moment, the creek, and the old man. His thin, white wisps of hair brush before his icy eyes. Cold, hateful, his body quivers with a barely contained fury. I look at him pleadingly, apologizing with my every minute gesture. I know this man. It was planned we meet here. His name, like my own, dances just out of reach. An overpowering sensation sweeps over me. Focus shifts for a split second, equilibrium even quicker but less violently, and I realize what is happening. I'm beginning to remember everything. Lives, associations, tasks, loves, wars, angers, pains, allegiances, sorrows, joys. The old man has a shovel in his hands now. I haven't seen it until now, and he brandishes it like a club, the blade quivering just over his shoulder. It's not a threat, but something more menacing. "I can't believe this," he screams. "Why must you waste all of this time with these ridiculous setbacks?" I was trapped, I say. I came as quickly as I could. "You've been gone. I have to start you from square one." The shovel arcs down, impacts with my head, and without words, I plead for this not to happen. Don't make me lose it again. I've made so much progress. I've come so far. But it's too late. I'm starting from scratch. The slate has been cleaned. A shoe. A secret place. Horses, wood, water, a flash, white void, total blackness. A pair of shoes, a pair of shoes, a secret place, things to do on a rainy day, cats, birds, a doorknob, deep fried catfish. Drinks, drinking on a porch, long dry summers, impressions of a woman, smell of smoldering plastic, the details, wood, water,
the details, wood, water, the details, wood, water, the details, wood, water, the details, wood, water. Thank you.
I'm lying on my back, naked, in the shallow creek. It's day. Morning. Glittering, agitated worms of sunlight wriggle on the water's surface above me. My sinuses and lungs burn from the cold liquid that fills them. I feel the pressure on my eyeballs. I have focus. I recite aloud my task, the words forming a bubbling mass of air that rises to the surface. I am the one who's supposed to kill Bernardi. Bernardi has a protector. I am in a womb. I sit up, emerging from the shallows. The open air hits me like an atom bomb. Water drains from my hair and nose in rivulets down my shoulders and chest. And I scream. An inhuman animal wail tears from my throat. Beyond my control, I watch and listen as it happens. The suffering in that sound, the wounded agony, sings of both complicated birth and violent death. I cannot match my reality with the things that I do. The sparrows and crows explode skyward from their secret places in the trees around the creek, black smoke figures shrieking back in fear and anger. The roar of their winged exodus causes the film of life to slip another sprocket, pause, melt slightly, then begrudgingly resume its lightning pace. My body is dry. My skin smells of pine sap. A neatly folded wardrobe sits in the grass to the left of the willow tree I lean against. I dress in the pressed white shirt, the light gray single-breasted suit, the matching tie and shoes. A pair of shoes, in the details. Late morning sunlight gleams from my silver cufflinks. A spacious field of dry clover disappears over the curve of the earth. I walk.
The Lord God took a handful of soil and made a man. God breathed life into the man, and the man started breathing. The Lord made a garden in a place called Eden, which was in the east, and he put the man there. Abel became a sheepherder, but Cain farmed the land. As Yeshua ben Joseph and his disciples were going into Bethsaida, some people brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch the man. Yeshua took him by the hand and led him out of the village, where he spit into the man's eyes. He placed his hand on the blind man and asked him if he could see anything. The man looked up and said, "I see people, but they look like trees walking around."
Wood, water. It's like the man said, "Give me heaven or give me hell. I didn't ask to be born. The guilt is your burden. The blood of billions is on your hands."
Crucifixion is two perpendicular I-beams penetrating a disembodied, still beating heart. A black shape with myriad tentacles swims in the murky depths below the raw red meat and steel. You can get lost here. The fear is indescribable.
Some memories flood in, drain out, leaving dripping walls in an empty room. The Force That Sets These in Motion, Part 2, was written and produced for Museoncast by N. Pendleton.